Few of us are equipped to understand the challenges of mental illness, and that's why we hear the voices of people struggling with mental health in our monthly segment, Compass Radio. It's co-produced by Compass House in Medford, a center that functions on the clubhouse model of mental health care.
You know, there's a lot of people get misconceptions about being homeless that we're trying out here to accept handout after handout after handout, and that's not really beneficial to anyone. What's more beneficial to me are these engaging hand-ups, you know, because now that I have these resources available to me that I'm using my own money to obtain, like, then it helps me think that I'm actually being successful.
Well, in the beginning, it was really hard, you know, people want an address. So if you don't have an address, that's a big barrier.
I've been living on the streets for the last 14 years. I just recently got a job again for my second year out of Harney-Davidson.
When we see homeless people, especially panhandlers, many of us often think, hey, get a job. In reality, homelessness can make finding employment incredibly difficult, and this is amplified if the homelessness is accompanied by mental illness. What we often don't realize, actually, is that many homeless people have jobs. This month, we hear from three Compass House members, JP, Brandon, and Anthony. Two of them have regular employment. We'll start with Brandon. He describes his biggest hurdles to employment in this conversation with Compass House volunteer Sanford White.
Well, in the beginning, it was really hard. You know, people want an address. So if you don't have an address, that's a big barrier. I've run into that in the past, having no address.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it now?
It's easier now because I have the Compass House. I can say that's an address that I have that I can give to people on a resume. As for some of the other components like showering and even finding time to get food is hard. When I first started my new job, I was working nights, which prevented me from going to food boxes, but I was able to shower at St. Vinny's in the morning. Now that I've switched to mornings, when I switched to mornings, I was still living in a tent. I wasn't able to shower. I would have to wait for about a week or so to shower.
Where did you shower?
A friend's house.
Okay.
I have a couple friends that would let me shower there.
And you've been successful with maintaining the job. You've been there how long now?
4 months.
Have you dealt with all the concerns that you had about eating and showering and sleeping?
Shower part will be taken care of once I'm able to move into the Compass House housing that I was. As for eating, I still haven't figured that one out because I mean, I'm always at work whenever there's food boxes, so I'm not actually able to get my own food boxes. So I don't know what I can do on that.
Are you making enough money to buy some food?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything that kept you from getting a job for a while, other than the address thing, which is pretty obvious?
I had problems with not having any references. And so when I did redo my resume, I was able to come up with at least one person that I could have on there as a reference. And then I was also able to use some people from the Compass House. I think that's why I had such a hard time, because I was looking for a good solid month, and it wasn't like I was sitting around doing nothing. I was putting in applications, going places. And I think because of the lack of references, I wasn't hired.
That was Compass House member Brandon. Anthony also has a job, but he's been living in a homeless camp outside of Medford for the past year. He tells Sanford White that one of his biggest obstacles has been transportation.
I just recently got a job again for my second year out of Harney-Davidson.
It was hard to find that job. How did you go about doing it?
You're just persistent, being out there every day. And somebody just told me, just go out to Harney-Davidson, see if you can get a job, they'll hire you. And mm-hmm. I went out there and they hired me.
Okay.
I went out there 13 years ago, well, it'll be 14 years ago now. Went out there and applied for a job and they turned me down. So I just basically said, I'm not going to work. So I basically lived out of garbage cans, cannon, stuff like that.
Cannon, okay. Did they know that you were homeless?
I told them that I was homeless.
Okay.
Yeah. But now, because they need workers, so now they're giving me a chance. I'm trying to get my foot in the door guards full time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my second season out there. I start in about 3 weeks at the bakery, 4-10s.
Through your persistency and honesty,
yes.
You've gotten a foot in the door. What's it like getting up in the morning and getting to work on time? How do you keep yourself? Because you're always clean and neat, which is sort of against, you know, people think that's not possible. Clearly it is. How do you maintain yourself?
Bird baths. Take a lot of bird baths.
Okay.
I mean, I get showers. I do get my showers if I need them. So it's not a problem with that. Getting up every morning, going to work, I have to have
the drive.
The drive, mm-hmm. to get up in the morning and go, because I'm quite a ways from camp. I'm probably about 12, 13 miles from Harrington Davis from my camp.
How do you get there?
My bicycle. I have a bicycle. I bought a bicycle last time I worked. Went and bought me a bicycle. So I have a good transportation.
Good.
Until we get a vehicle.
And you're saving up for a car?
We're going to get a car this year, yes.
How do you keep up your strength, the food and the... Because you're always clean and dressed and neat. Do you rely on others, or how do you...
No, we go and get food boxes.
Okay.
There's other people at our camp as well. They feed, we feed each other. We all take care of each other.
Okay. So,
I mean, just one person can't do it by themselves. Work. But when you got more people to back you and support, and that's what everybody needs, is to support. Okay. If I don't have the support, I'm not going to get nowhere.
So you have a community at the camp.
Right.
How long have... Is it a long-term community?
I've been there a year.
And other people?
See, one, two, three of us have been there a year, and two more people have been there a couple months. And I'm not in Medford. I'm on the outskirts of Medford. And okay. I have permission by the people that own the property to be on that property.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Okay, how did you arrange that?
It just happened to fall into our hands that way. We got kicked out of one property, one field, and had moved, so we went over to this other field. Talk to the owners that own the houses and the other owners that own the property. So long as you keep it clean and keep the cops out of it, we're okay.
What do you use for a physical address?
I use a compass house for my address.
Okay. So you can get mail and...
All my mail comes here at the compass house.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I won't have no mail.
Right.
Go nowhere because yeah. I don't have an address.
Right.
So hopefully this year I'll be into a place. Knock on wood.
And finally, we hear from JP. He has embraced the social services available to him and seems genuinely optimistic about the opportunities that are opening up.
You know, there's a lot of people get misconceptions about being homeless that we're trying out here to accept handout after handout after handout, and that's not really beneficial to anyone. What's more beneficial to me are these engaging hand-ups, you know, because now that I have these resources available to me that... I'm using my own money to obtain, like, then it helps me think that I'm actually being successful and I'm gaining ground and I'm growing.
How did you make the transition from not accepting to accepting, honoring and enjoying what you're getting?
That's a real tough one because I've been prayed for and I just thought this, you know, this beam of light's going to come in and everything's just going to change. But it was a constant going back and forth of seeing how I can interact with these situations that are being presented. You know, I could take it one of two ways, being extremely positive or being negative or even being partially negative. But that didn't help the situation. I guess myself, I lived in this fantasy life about what life was truly about because I let people tell me what it was about. And I didn't go out and experience it for myself. And now that I have that experience about what life is about for me, I feel so much more fulfilled. And that's something that I would use alcohol and drugs to try and fill. And now, it's so much better because life is just so different. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I don't have employment right now, but I have all kinds of opportunities where they're popping up. I've taken photos for Google Maps. I'm actually working on a nature show project with Aaron Moffitt, which is a director out of Ashland about the Klamath Falls and ecoregions. And just being here at the Compass House and doing outreach, these are opportunities that I would have never tried because I was in my addiction or telling myself that I couldn't do that or believing somebody else to tell me that I just wasn't ready for it.
That was Compass House member JP. We also heard from Anthony and Brandon talking about the challenges of being homeless and finding employment. It's our monthly Compass House segment, Compass Radio, here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm John Baxter, in today for Jeffrey Riley. Joining us in the studio this morning from Compass House are two members, the executive director of Compass House, Elizabeth Hazelwood. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Chris Folden, who's the employment coordinator for Compass House. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Chris, let's start with you. How often do you see homeless people who are employed?
Roughly just about every day. Every day, those that are employed, they are the ones who are hitting it hard, and they're coming in and being active and, you know, really applying themselves and looking for housing, and they're the ones that are really going to make it.
And so you talk to these people. You know, we heard from Anthony, for example, who got a job at Harry and David despite the fact that he was homeless, and he said he told them he was homeless. Do you see still, though, a lot of prejudice against homeless people from employers when the homeless people come to look for work?
Absolutely. It is a huge problem. You know, I mean, without an address of record, nobody wants, they think that you've been, you know, completely irresponsible in your life and have no motivation, or, you know, it is definitely a very big stigma that is really hard to break, because people end up homeless for a lot of different situations.
And do the homeless people, once they do have a job, is it more difficult for them to keep a job because they're homeless, because they have transportation issues, because something may happen in their homeless camp that makes it impossible for them to get to work? Is it hard for them to keep a job?
Oh, absolutely, because as soon as you leave your camp, you have to worry about, you know, is it going to be there when I come back? Are the police going to come and raid and take everything that I own? Or worse, you know, other homeless people, you know, coming in and taking everything. And it's just, it's a real challenge.
Elizabeth, we heard one of the Compass House members, I think it was Brandon, talk about Compass House housing. Do you provide housing for people who are homeless?
We do. It's a transitional housing program. Currently, it can house up to six residents or six members. And it's meant to help people that are currently homeless or near homeless find permanent housing. So it's not a long-term solution. It has a cap on it of 9 to 12 months, and it gives somebody a safe place to live while building credit, while building their money for deposits and things, so that they can find permanent housing.
Mm-hmm. And so do you provide those other services to them, or at least point them in the direction where they can find help?
Absolutely. That's part of what we do, is helping our members do whatever needs that they need to meet. So they come in and participate, and we work with them to find housing. Some people are looking on a daily basis, because housing in Jackson County is impossible, especially if you have a criminal record or bad credit. So trying to get just housing communities that will work with you is really, really difficult. So we reach out and make partnerships and things along those lines.
And you also offer them an address.
Yes. A lot of our homeless members, which are about 32% of our members that we serve, use our address because they need things that are mailed, like Social Security letters and just everything in general that we take for granted. Where does that go if you don't have an address?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any statistics on how many of the homeless population are also dealing with mental illness?
Well, the national average is 90%.
Wow.
That, yes, and it's huge, and it's really, really hard to get your life together if you're homeless. I mean, a lot of things that when you have a house you take for granted, like showering and a safe place to leave your stuff, that's not a reality for homeless people.
So how does someone qualify for housing at Compass House?
Well, it's based completely on needs. So what we do is we have a stack of applicants, and we have a housing committee, and we sit there and we discuss anonymously each person's situation and how benefiting from our transitional housing will help them in the long term.
So, for example, Medford's been exploring the concept of building tiny houses for the homeless. In your experience, how many – I mean, one of the stereotypes of homeless people that you often hear is like, oh, they just want to be that way. You know, they're so far gone, they just want to camp out in the woods. But how many of the homeless people that you guys encounter really desperately want to get back into homes?
Almost all of them. There are some people that are happy living homeless, but for the most part, it's a struggle, and they're looking every day to have a safe roof over their head.
And Chris, when you get a homeless person or another Compass House resident who's looking for work, what are your resources that you provide to them? How do you get them into a job?
Well, we help them throughout a number of ways. We help them with resumes, cover letters, determining exactly what it is they need, part-time, full-time, what they think they're capable of, addressing gaps in employment history. Also, we look at benefits. How is it going to affect your benefits? There's quite a gamut array of different things that we look at to help people. Sanford White, who's actually doing the interviews, has been a tremendous help in coming in and helping people with that as well. We have a transitional employment program, too, which helps people get into work with that extra support that a lot of people need.
Well, great. Thank you both for being with us this morning on our monthly Compass Radio segment. Elizabeth Hazelwood is the executive director of Compass House in Medford. Chris Folden, the employment coordinator. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.